Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of many, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world and take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation,
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation,
when that flaming star comes down.
Tribulation,
when the seven seals are broken,
and the seven vials are open,
and the seven trumpets sound. As quick as lightning streaks from east to west across the sky, God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that final glorious hour. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation,
when that flaming star comes down.
Tribulation,
when the seven seals are broken,
and the seven vials are open,
and the seven trumpets sound. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
I ain't going to be here. I'm looking for Jesus to come back in a cloud and call of us saints up there. And I tell you what, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get alone by yourself. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I don't know a whole lot about you, but I do know that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I heard there's no way I can make it into heaven. Father, Jesus, would you please forgive me? I hear that you laid your life down for me. You took my place on Calvary. You were whipped naked, stripped naked, spit in the face. They put a crown of thorns on you. They whipped you to where your bones were showing. You took all my sins upon you on that cross. And they crucified you. And 3 days later, then they buried you. You bodily rose from the graves, conquering hell and death. Lord, save me. If you'll do that, and if you'll believe that with your whole heart and trust everything that Jesus did, you'll get your name written in the book of life. You are saved, and you'll make the rapture just before all hell breaks loose. My name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne from the great state of Ohio, from Brunswick. And our special guest tonight is none other than Hal Larson from Truckers of Christ, and Bill Grady, an author and evangelist preacher that's went all across the land trying to help people and teach them about Jesus and what's coming. And gentlemen, would you like to finish up where you left off?
Well, Larson, whatever you want to know, he's asking me about the book, How Satan Turned America Against God, which kind of set up America's purpose and how we've departed from that purpose. He's really got it, to summarize it, it's basically, and the new book picks up a lot of this information in summary form. But, the Apostle Paul, he gave a prayer request in 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life with all godliness and honesty. This is well-pleasing to God, and will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He put that in print there to Timothy right after he spent 2 years in jail, realizing that persecution was coming. You could see the handwriting on the wall. And he was executed the next year. So he never saw that prayer answered. The Roman government had no interest in sparing him. And by 90 AD, all the apostles were dead, martyred. And then for the next millennium and a half, you had nothing but persecution for Christian people. And you got a hymn book that has a hymn that says, "Faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword." But then again, then you had something called the United States of America open up. And after the American Revolution, and after the Baptists helped James Madison get the Constitution ratified through its confirmation in Virginia, the biggest state in America, James Madison fulfilled a pledge to the Baptist pastor John Leland that he worked with to get, Virginia's endorsement, and he came out with the Bill of Rights, as he promised. That was in 1791, gentlemen. Wow. And that was the first time that Paul's prayer was answered. It took 17 centuries for a significant percentage of the body of Christ to have a favorable government for peace life, a peaceful existence, not to consume it upon their lust. But verse 4 of 1 Timothy 2 said, "For this is well-pleasing to God, who will have all men to be saved." You get a lot more evangelism and missionary activity if you're not going to jail.
Right.
And so God opened up this country to give the opportunity for the Philadelphia church age to begin. No coincidence that the Bill of Rights was signed in Philadelphia. No coincidence that Philadelphia was the first capital of the United States of America. And so then America gets to get the gospel out all around the world. But secondly, it became the haven for the state of Israel to be born. Because you go to Newport, Rhode Island today, that's the Portsmouth, Rhode Island, is a sign there that says birthplace of American democracy, because that's where the first Baptist church in America was founded by Dr. John Clark, based on freedom of religion. Well, there's no, that book you're referring to, Mr. Larson, Brother Larson, has a picture of the oldest standing synagogue in America, the Toro Synagogue in Newport. And right behind the synagogue, a block away in the distance, you can see a white church steeple in the same picture. And that's the John Clark Memorial Baptist Church. That's the oldest Baptist church in America. You got both buildings in the same picture, oldest synagogue, oldest Baptist church, and there's an American flag in the picture on the synagogue property. So the Jews got their first haven from 2,000 years of persecution. And the idea is by 1948, you had a president who had a Baptist background, Harry Truman, who signed the first paperwork at 6:11 p.m. on May 14th, 1948, to endorse the state of Israel. We became the first government to do that. And basically, the American money and the political power it was helping Israel get its foothold to get back into the land. That's beginning to, you know, the clock ticking on prophetic events. So America was a haven for the gospel, to get the gospel around the world and to give that Jew a leg up. And that's why a Jewish woman wrote the words to the Statue of Liberty. Give us your poor, your tired, etc. Emma Lazarus was her name. And a Jewish banker from Philadelphia, Moses, bankrolled the entire American Revolution for George Washington. So 900 pages, there's plenty of information there, but that's just a quick summary of the basic idea.
Well, I can say one thing. As we were reading in the book of Proverbs, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, there's no doubt that God shined that on you. But the way you can illustrate and pick dates and all that stuff, that's a gift from God.
Well, Dr. Ruckman was the guy that wound me up. I read his book, Israel, A Deadly Piece of Dirt. That turned me upside down and, triggered my interest, to study as much as I could. And I'll tell you something else. All of this also deals with the idea of racism. Everybody's always pushing this in everybody's face today. Smithsonian Institute posted on their website, if you believe in proper vocabulary, being punctual, the nuclear family, and about three or four other sane things, if you believe in any of those, you're a systemic racist. I got the exact quote in my new book.
Wow.
We're getting this 24/7 thrown at us. But the whole idea of the white race, being superior, white privilege,
white supremacist too.
White supremacy. Listen, all of that is accurate as far as history is concerned. Mm-hmm. I mean, the European race has controlled this earth. I mean, I got a book written by Paul Kennedy, top secular historian at Yale University, top egghead in America. He would know he doesn't know the Bible, but he said that by 1917, European powers controlled, I believe he said, 86% of the earth. I mean, everybody knows that, but the explanation is a spiritual explanation. Because God, I have a quote in my new book, from World Book Encyclopedia, 2022 edition. You couldn't get any more up to date. In volume 4, on the article of Noah, I took a picture with my camera of the page and have the exact photograph in my book. Anybody can look it up, where they say that Japheth, Noah's son, followed the people of Asia Minor and Europe, exactly like Genesis 10 shows in that the so-called Table of Nations. Shows Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and Japheth was the one that populated Europe. Well, the prophecy on Japheth said that God would enlarge Japheth. There's a hate crime right there. He's going to do something for one boy that he didn't do for the other two. But the spiritual explanation is what's profound. God's called Japheth the elder brother in Genesis 10. Japheth the elder. Anybody that had a big brother knows he's there to look after the little brothers.
Right.
And God handpicked Japheth to be the line that would get the gospel to the world, not only to fellow Japhethites, Europeans, but also to the Shemites and the Hamites, Japheth's younger brothers. That is exactly what happened in world missions, British missions, and then the United States after Great Britain. And here's your crazy, how are you going to make this up? The word Japheth means beautiful. Like Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Like the first miracle in the book of Acts at the beautiful gate. In Acts 3, where a man gets his feet restored. And then the first convert in Europe. When Paul goes into Europe in Acts 16, by the way, lands in Europe in Acts 16:11. Go look it up. That's where he gets off the boat at Neapolis after crossing the Aegean Sea from Asia into Europe. And he lands, he takes the gospel, the grace of God, into European soil at Acts 16:11. three verses later, Lydia gets saved, the first European in European soil. Her name means beautiful. How are you going to make that up? And then you take the gospel to America eventually, and you got a hymn that says, America the Beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
Now, that's a, quite a few dots to connect.
That's amazing stuff. Folks, I want to remind you, my name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne. You've heard me before. We have Pastor Hal Larson from Church of Christ and Bill Grady, one of the fabulous authors. I mean, if you just listen to this man articulate, you understand he's walking encyclopedia and well, who he studied under and what he studied under, folks. It's a vast library of knowledge that God has blessed this man, and he's made it available for you. All you got to do is just go to his website. And what's your website again? GradyPublications.com. GradyPublications.com. Folks, go there and get yourself enlightened with some of this stuff that will actually educate you and help you to grow in knowledge and understanding. And make sure you get make sure you get your pencil and paper, because at 11:40, I'm going to do something special for a few minutes and write some stuff down. Go ahead, Pastor Al.
And Dr. Grady is going to be preaching at Doors of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, this October the 9th at 6 o'clock in the evening. So we want everybody to come and hear one of the best historians you'll ever hear in your life. He tells it like it is. No political nonsense.
That is something, folks, you don't want to miss. What's the address again where you're going to be preaching at?
It'll be 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio.
What time?
6 o'clock p.m., October 9th.
We'll have the book there, too, Mr. President.
Oh, that...
Yeah, he'll have the book table here, too, so you can get any of his books that you like.
That sounds wonderful. Now, folks, we did tell you that we got some questions to ask for, and these two gentlemen here, I'm trying to set the table. Now, if you've been listening to What's Right, What's Left at any period of time, you understand the voice of the Christian resistance. Gentlemen, is this America's last election as we know it, or is the election already rigged and stolen like it was in 2020? What do you say? Is this America's last election as we know it? For the 2022 election for the House of Representatives and Senate. And what do you gentlemen say?
Go ahead, Dr. Grady.
Well, who knows what's going on anymore? It is so corrupt. I mean, I think I mentioned this back in July. I have a weird connection to the Biden family to show you how corrupt they are. I mean, in 1972, a man named Bill Stevenson and his wife opened a nightclub in Newark, Delaware, called the Stone Balloon. It quickly became about the top college bar in the United States. The Rolling Stone magazine voted it the best-kept secret in rock and roll. And they had the Allman Brothers were there all the time. Ray Charles, Bruce Springsteen practically lived there, they said. But I sold that nightclub, their cash registers. I was 19 years old at that time, working for the Brandywine Cash Register Company in Wilmington, Delaware. But the weird connection to all this is that the man that owned it, Bill Stevenson, and his wife, they were co-owners. They were known socially as Bill and Jill. And 5 years later, it became Joe and Jill, as in Senator Joe Biden and the former Jill Stevenson. Current First Lady was my customer in 1972 in June. But the crazy part of the story is that man, Stevenson, you look it up on Google, he's been threatening to put a tell-all book out about how his wife, the current First Lady, was playing footsies with Senator Biden behind his back before they were ever divorced. And so if you steal a man's wife, you'll steal an election.
Yep.
And once a crook, always a crook. So he's a bum. He's a crook, and no doubt about it. And if they were able to steal the election from Trump when he was holding all the cards, when he was in power, he had the nuclear codes. You know, the military was not about to back him, the upper echelon anymore. They're long since shot. They could get away with all that when he was in office and then turn right around and do the same thing in Georgia elections for those senators that they pushed through. It's hard for me to believe they couldn't do it again. And so there's no way of telling which way it's going.
Did you see the movie 2,000 Mules?
No, but I know about it. If I was the guest,
yeah,
I would think the powers that be are pushing for anarchy. For the for the right, what you saw at the January 6th situation, to blow up again, you know, to push the beginning of a civil war,
yeah,
so that the Bush people could come down with martial law. Because everything they're doing, they're going to keep the election from Trump. He can't even run, maybe. Might be anything can happen.
Yeah.
The idea is perilous times. You look the word up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says dangerous, hazardous, full of great risk. And you got traitors in there as one of the 20 signs for the last days. And false accusers, I think, is number 11. You've seen that right in front of your face all through Trump's tenure. And you see it amok now, traitors. So it's coming to pass, and so we should be excited about it.
I read a verse today in book of Jeremiah 23, chapter 14. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem in horrible things. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. And look at how Ray and Merrick Garland, our attorney general and FBI director, they're strengthening the hands of the evildoers. Which leads me to this question. Has the teachers union in America gone mad?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm hearing from all different parts of the country, and the teachers are trying to deny this, but it's nationwide rumor mill material, you know, about how these crazy children now are identifying as animals. Some are identifying as insects, litter boxes in the bathrooms. There's a picture on the internet of a school in Australia allowing a girl to crawl around the classrooms like a cat. I mean, that's real. That's just the beginning of it. And we haven't gotten out of the hangar yet. And that's that. Those are your so-called teachers' unions endorsing this kind of perversion. So it has to happen. And that's what happens when God gives up a culture to a reprobate mind.
I seen that it was reported that in North Carolina, I believe it was North Carolina, a fifth grader was in class and the teacher was addressing him. And he refused to answer. He kept going, meow, meow. And the boy next to him turned around and says, teacher, he's not going to address you until you meow back to him. And then they ended up going down to the principal and the parents. And then he says, well, we've got to learn how to reason with this young boy because he thinks he's a cat. Did you hear about that, Hal?
No, I didn't.
Can you believe, I mean, we're to the point now where principals and that are going to bend over because the kid go meow. I tell you what, spare the rod, spoil the child. You like that back end of it. He going to do more than meow. He going to howl.
Well, how about this shop teacher, transvestite, that's got a pair of artificial breasts that look like, footballs. You know, he's a shop teacher, and they're letting him continue to, you know, parade around in front of his students like that. And, just pick your state. Washington State, they were giving away free marijuana, joints for jabs, you know. The state of Washington, we're off giving marijuana joints to people that got vaccinations. And you want to run, and then, Alabama, if you were 16 years old or older and you could prove you were vaccinated, you could take your car, your truck, and go two laps around Talladega's track. The country's lost its marbles, you know. We understand that. But that's why it's time to get ready to get out of here.
How soon before the president, or if you want to call him that, you know, whatever, the guy, how about this? The guy in the White House who's masquerading as a president, how soon before he signs executive orders that they could have places in high school where the teenagers can go masturbate? How soon before that comes into effect?
Well, he's got two more years, but and executive orders will be the way to override the House that the Republicans will certainly take back. Yeah, he can do anything he wants, fiat, and that's pretty bad. But he may not even be in there for the second 2 years. I make a joke. Some of the stuff I say sarcastically, but a day after the midterms, you know, the Bidens are going to get invited over to the Clintons for tea. You know.
Yeah. Here's one, and I sure we all know the answer, but there's a lot of people in the audience that are still undecided. Has God lifted his hand of protection on the United States?
Has he lifted his hand?
Has God took his hand of protection off the United States?
Well, we all have our opinion, right?
Yeah, I want to hear yours.
I have a three-point outline on America. Our past was blessed as a nation whose God is the Lord. That's how we became America.
Correct.
Our present is righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's our present. And our future is the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. And you know, there's a billion body bags you're going to need, billion plus, you know, according to the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Once the tribulation gets kicked in.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where those body bags are not going to be needed. They're not going to be needed in China. They're not going to be needed in India, North Korea, not even in Russia. They're going to be needed in the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Great Britain. And the reason is because of that verse. The wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. You can't forget someone that you never knew.
Correct.
China never knew the God of North Carolina. And that's why the songwriter said, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. And Peter said, judgment must begin at the house of God. So I certainly believe that God has been withdrawing his protection from this country. The culture is collapsing. And if China, and I just preached for a pastor and Marine in Mechanicsville, Maryland, and he introduced me to a pastor in the area who spent 20 years in the Army in ordinances and, you know, and a lot of secret stuff, you know. That pastor told me that every time the United States and China are in a war, you know, in a mock war with a computer,
mm-hmm.
every potential scenario, we lose every single angle we attempt.
Wow. Wow, these are shocking things. And if you turn around, you know, where I say God pulled his hand back on America, 20 cities we talked about many times. Pastor Sanders has brought up with Joe Larson and Hal, you've called in, you've sat in and listened. I've been in on two. You had 20 major cities in the United States that governors that were Democrats, police chiefs, Democrats, mayors, Democrats, allowed looting and rioting in our America. They destroyed over 2,000 police vehicles. Over 2,500 policemen, men, women, and fire people were hurt with bricks and bottles, foul language, burning, looting, desecrating, spray painting, jumping up and down, burning churches, took over a police precinct in Minneapolis, Minnesota, burning car dealerships. In California, they can go in and take up to $900-something, walking into stores. They're not arrested in Washington or Oregon anymore. God had to remove his hand because look at the lawlessness. Our government with under Biden and Barack Obama, you might as well say they gave the middle finger to God and says, we're going to do what we want. We don't care about what your holy book says. And you
my
say?
My son's a detective in the Blount County Sheriff's Department. My son-in-law is a corrections officer. I couldn't agree with you anymore. That's Chicago's destroyed. New York's absolutely heading that way at light speed. Every major city's that way. You know, and that's part of 2 Timothy 3, 20 signs. One of them says fierce, one of the 20 signs of the last days. There's your road rage and everything, every other insanity.
I've got on my work van Jesus, KJV, and gun. And I got Jesus is God. Trump won 2020. In the beautiful town of Brunswick where I live, Medina County, we got Brunswick Lake Park where you can walk around. They got deer and all kind of ducks and geese and whatnot and squirrels. It's a beautiful place to walk. I have people that will drive by, senior citizens, roll the window down, give me the middle finger. I've had people drop F-bombs, and then I have people blow their horn, put the thumbs up, wave, yeah, go Trump, Jesus, and you know, it's amazing. In the past 2 years, I have been cussed at more, threatened more for Jesus and Trump, which has never happened in my lifetime. I see this hatred, this wickedness, violence over sticking up for Jesus and defending Trump, how people have rage and hate. It blows my mind sometimes, gentlemen.
Well, that's what 2 Timothy 3:1 says, perilous times. You look again, if you look the word up in Webster's, it says dangerous, hazardous, full of great risk. That's where we are, and we're just getting underway. You talk about senior citizens giving you the middle finger.
Yeah.
I have a good friend that's a pastor in Branson, Missouri. I preached for him many times. His wife has lots of these little flea markets. You know, it's a major tourist area, Branson, mm-hmm. Missouri. 10 million people a year, I guess, come. But she's got 3 or 4 little flea markets, you know, spread around the area. She's told me that every fall when the senior citizen buses come in, you know, these are white senior citizens from suburban America coming in on these buses. And they shoplift these people, these flea market people, like crazy.
Wow.
They come back to the buses. They want to see. They call them klepto grannies. I mean, all the flea market people know this. You know, it's a disaster they deal with every fall.
Unbelievable.
I mean, white ladies in their 60s and 70s ripping off. They have games. They come back to the buses to compare who got the best rip off. Explain that to me sometime. My favorite verse now is, beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life out here.
Hey, Hal, what part of thou shall not don't they get?
They'll get it good when they stand before God's judgment seat, that's for sure.
But this is not 500 black kids running to a department store. These are white ladies in their 60s and 70s and 80s. Explain that to me.
I'm in the flooring business, and I drive all through Northeast Ohio. I worked from Conneaut to Sandusky to Caldwell. And to see people, 70% of the people don't even want to stop at stop signs no more. They're not going through yellow lights. They're blowing through red lights, 1,001, 1,002. In every city, if you're sitting under a traffic light and the light turns and you get the green arrow, the guy opposite is sitting under a solid red light. They blow in front of you as you're going. You give the horn. They give you the finger. You go into stores. Most of the people will cut in front of you. They'll bump into you. They don't say, excuse me. You go for a walk in the park. You got to say, hello, how are you today? They don't want to look at you. They don't want to make eye contact. And if they say, hello, it's real fast. It's like, what the hell happened to society? We can't say hello. We can't say good morning. If nobody says excuse me anymore, how did the captain lose control of the wheel?
Coach, as people turn their back on the Lord, they slowly lose their minds. They slowly go insane. The insanity that we're going through is because people have turned their back on the Lord, and the Lord's the only one that's keeping their minds together.
That's great stuff. Absolutely.
You look at your list of 20 signs.
Yeah.
20 signs in 2 Timothy 3. One of them says, without natural affection.
Yeah. I remember when this COVID hit and I got on my TV show and Pastor Sanders was hitting us real big with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and whatnot. And I came out and did my TV show and I sent all the stuff to my family. I said, look, we are not going to have 2.5 million people die from this stuff in America. We are not going to have refrigerator trucks in every city. All the hospital and emergency rooms are not going to be overrun where they're going to have tents and house everybody. If you can breathe through a mask, it doesn't mean nothing. You can get any virus if you can breathe through a mask. You want to put up plastic barriers to so high, what? The virus is going to stop at the 6-foot plastic? We walk down the aisle. They've got walk one way on this side, walk down the other way. As God is my witness, a couple times Bob and I would walk in deliberately going against the grain, and you had senior citizens, people in their 30s and 40s, would put their backs against the aisles with all the canned goods as we were walking because they were afraid they were going to get sick and die. And when all this stuff came out to be that none of this really happened like the CDC and the WHO and Dr. Frankenstein Fauci said it was going to happen, do you think anybody would say, hey, Coach, hey, Ernie Sanders, hey, Joe Larson, hey, Hal Larson, you guys were right. This stuff never happened. But we got a fear factory machine of lies, how people all fell for this stuff. Until this day, nobody's ever said, you know what, Uncle, you know what, Coach, you were right. None of this stuff happened.
Hey, Coach, I got kicked out of a Rite Aid a couple of days ago just for warning a couple of ladies that were filling out an application for a shot about, you know, all the people that have died from it and got maimed and everything. And the woman pharmacist come running out there telling me I've got to go, that I can't talk to nobody about anything, and you know, and insisting these women go ahead and get the shots and everything. Even though what I said to them, they decided not to get the shots. She was putting pressure on them to go ahead and get them, and told me I had to go, or you know, probably call the police and everything else. So I mean, they're getting crazy, you know, spastic.
Oh yeah, you stepped on the SS hands, brother.
Yeah.
Well, we are living in some weird times. For the past week, we've heard on this radio program the Doomsday Report, homosexuality, transgender, AI, artificial intelligence, transhumans, Klaus Schwab and them, they're working on taking chips and putting them in people's brains to control them. Only the super elite are going to have these chips by Klaus Schwab and these different scientists. People have come out and said that you can turn around and become immortal. If you go to YouTube, go on YouTube and type in Jan Markel, M-A-R-K-E-L, Becoming Gods, with the guest, Mark Henry and Billy Crone. Listen to the program as they tell you beautiful clips of the, you will hear it right from the horse's mouth, how they plan on being the next generation to live forever through super elite transhumor by putting chips in people's body, by making robots out of humans, how they will never die. They will become little gods, and the super elite will get this, while the rest of you little pawns will get a microchip in your brain that they can control you electronically and control your thoughts, know what you're thinking, and financially control all the workings that you could possibly do. So do check this out. I'm going to come a couple minutes earlier, what I want to talk about real quick here, gentlemen, and I want you to elaborate. You know, we've talked about all this doomsday, and yeah, there's a hell, yeah, there's a lake of fire, there's a white throne judgment. You need Jesus really bad. But you know what, folks, for those of you who put your trust in Jesus, now, again, wherever you're listening to me, if you're in prison, if you're in jail, if you're driving a truck, if you're laying in a bed and you're ready to die, you've got illnesses and sicknesses, and you've been divorced, there's death in the family, maybe your number's coming up. If you put your trust in Jesus, and what I mean by that is 100%, don't trust your church, don't trust your sacraments, don't trust your water baptism, don't trust your good word, just trust Jesus 100% when you die. Know this. Here's something that no prosperity preacher can tell you. Here's something that no religious guru can tell you. You will be needing no more wheelchairs, no more walkers, no more canes, no more doctors, man, no more hospitals, no more dentists, no more sickness, no more disease. People, the pain will be gone. You won't be up all night hurting, walking, looking for relief, taking pills. Those of you who are lonely, you're not going to be lonely no more, man. No more crying, no more tears, no more looking at the pictures of the loved ones that's gone. No more guilt and feeling ashamed. Those days are gone. No feeling unworthiness. You look in the mirror, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're not pretty, you're not gorgeous, you're too small, you're too... All that's gone. That's over with. You'll never be rejected. You'll never feel that no more. And we'll never get old. We will never, ever age. And the one that I despise and that I hate more than ever, no more death. I don't have to hold no one's hands where they're dying. I don't have to remember the woman that I was going to marry die of brain tumors. I don't have to remember holding my mama's hands as she's dying at the age of 90 for the last couple hours with my brother John. Instead, folks, we're going to be feeling loved continuously. Unknown pleasures in heaven. We'll see our loved ones that are saved again. We will have eternal life, total joy and peace, and everyone will be living in harmony. There'll be no sin, no perverts, no violence, no liars. But you know the number one main thing of all? We're going to be face to face with Jesus, who died on that cross for us. And when he looks at us, he's going to see righteousness in us, not our sins. We are going to be made in the image of him, like him. Somewhat like him. It's going to be breathtaking. We're going to be immortal. A gift from God. Love, compassion. gentlemen, that is what the plan of salvation offers for every single person that hears our voice tonight. What do you say, Bill?
Well, I'll say I watched my mother commit suicide when I was 11 years old. I baptized her on her deathbed, baptized her as a Catholic would do it. She was a Lutheran. I poured sprinkled water on her head, thinking that was going to make her a Catholic, help her to get to heaven. They pumped her stomach that night, and she died in the middle of the night. And 10 years, I had a hole in my heart looking for something. I was 11 years old, 1964. 10 years later, I'm a strict Roman Catholic, but not knowing where I'm going to go when I die, wondering where my mother went. And I'm driving down Philadelphia's highway and picked up a preacher on the radio, began to explain to me what you just said to the people over the radio a moment ago. And I heard about Jesus, how he could save me, and how my good works couldn't do it, but if I put my faith in the Lord, he would do it. And 4 months after I started listening, I went to this church twice. And the second time I went, August the 25th, 1974, outside of Philadelphia, I went to the front of the altar at the end of the sermon, told the preacher I wanted to be saved, and a deacon took me into a side room and led me a little sinner's prayer and told me I was a sinner and that I had to go to hell for my sin, but Jesus took my place, and if I would trust him, I could get entrance into heaven because he paid the penalty for my sin if I was sincere. And I certainly wanted what was right. The Lord was speaking to my heart, and I put my faith in the Lord to save me that day. That was 48 and a half years ago.
Wonderful.
And it's been a joy for almost a half a century now. And so that's the best news you can give over this radio, is what you just told those people out there, because we haven't gotten out of the hangar yet.
Yeah.
It's going to get real bad, but only the Lord can take care of us.
Hal, what would you say about that, what I read?
Well, what you said was absolutely right. Did you want me to give the plan of salvation now or wait till later?
Not yet. A few more minutes. I'm going to take one call, but before I do, people want to hear what you think about it.
Well, you're exactly right. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And people just got to remove the blinders from their eyes. The Bible says in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And God can help this country get back to the way it was in a heartbeat, but not without repentance. And this country, from what I see, don't want to repent. They want to hang on to their sins. They want to compromise with the LGBT and all the other perverts and crazy things out there, and yet they want God to save them from their troubles. It don't work that way. You got to repent. And until they repent, you know, Biden and the Antichrist and all these people are going to continue to take advantage of this country and hurt it and everything else, because only God can get rid of them, and he could get rid of them in a moment, a twinkling of an eye even. They're nothing to him, but we've got to repent. And until we do that, nothing's going to change. It's just going to get worse.
Very well. Let's take Steve in Cleveland. Steve, I'd see he's a good guy, and I think I've heard him before, but let's find out. Steve, welcome to What's Right, What's Left. I'm taking you tonight.
Hey, Coach. Hey, you guys are doing a great job for filling in there for Pastor Sanders. Real quick, Pastor Sanders is a little bit under the weather? Hopefully no more than that.
Hal, explain it to him again in case people just tuning in.
He took a hard fall a couple days ago on some hard concrete. And, you know, he's just hurting from head to foot and everything. He had to go to the hospital a little bit after that. And then he came back home, and then his shoulder got dislocated on top of everything else. So he had to go back in the hospital this morning. And this time they decided to keep him. And that's where he's at right now. And I guess he's in a lot of pain. But, you know, he's fighting it the best he can and praying and, you know, wants to get back to on the radio preaching to people as soon as he can.
Yeah, shoulders are no fun. They are no fun at all. Hey, everything that you guys can say you can cover, it's textbook, you know, all biblical. I got one question. Russia has the biggest sub in the world, and it just disappears. What are we supposed to believe? Does anybody know where it is, where it disappeared to?
With all the technology and satellite imaging and radar and everything, and we can't find it, explain that one to me.
I was just wondering, I mean, you know, Putin's losing the war. He supposedly has, you know, whatever Michael J. Fox has. I forgot, you know,
Parkinson's.
Don't have all stuff. Yeah. Or whatever he's got. And, you know, Xi Jinping, whatever his name is, Ping Pong. You know, he's trying to get himself set in there for life. And Trump just got interviewed off Real America's Voice, if anybody knows the channel. I mean, Tucker Carlson has to own Fox right now. I mean, I don't think he can leave. I don't know how Bill O'Reilly got through the years, but I mean, when I haven't watched the news, just watch a little bit of MSNBC or Fox or whatever, but, you know, this Real America's Voice, I mean, that show is just no teleprompters. Nobody has their hair perfect or anything, but nobody can explain how do you lose the biggest sub in the world and it just disappears. So, I mean, does anybody have any info on that? Is there anything came out about that?
Well, there again, you don't even know if that's the truth because they only tell us right. What they want us to know.
I mean, it's just supposed to be the biggest sub that, you know, the nuclear sub, and, you know, Putin's losing his mind, so he's going to get it set up to where, you know, I got missiles pointing, and let's use little, North Korea's the, you know, the pawns, whatever.
Well, supposedly, it's a whole different thing, but John McTernan last night explained that this sub has a special nuclear warhead on it that it shoots under the water, and it causes, when it hits, it causes nuclear waste that lets a tsunami that when it goes into a city and it floods it, you're going to have super radiation, and that's just going to destroy all kinds of stuff and cause toxic throughout the whole city, along with a tsunami. That's what John explained last night.
I heard that. I mean, it's just you guys are so spot on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So, I mean, Pastor Sanders has to be proud. So maybe he needs, you know, his time off is overriding his pain in his shoulder.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I just want to know where this.
I'm sure Joe Arson will have something about it.
You know, how do you lose a sub, you know?
Yeah.
You lose Biden. We see him 5% of the day. So I heard he gets B12 shots. He's in bed at 9 o'clock. Trump's up tweeting at 3 a.m. who's gonna be answering the phone at 3 a.m. Like Hillary, she gotta put her face on, find her glasses. Trump will be up there tweeting. It's like, it's just unbelievable.
I hear you, Steve. We gotta run. Thanks for the call. Folks, I told you about getting your pen. Now you got this. Now here's what I want you to do. How many of you have countertops full of all kind of medications, prescriptions in your bathroom, in your countertop, in your cupboards? You're taking all this stuff for all kinds of different ailments. Well, wouldn't you like to finally get to the solution of what's going wrong with you? I'm living proof. When I had my gallbladder attack and I called in and the radio, Craig was here. It was September 10th. I was doubled over in pain. It was like a rattlesnake bit me in the middle of my stomach and he wouldn't let go. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, bent over in pain, asking God to help me after 25 minutes of the most horrible, excruciating pain. I laid in bed. I didn't want to go to hospital. And I grabbed my phone and I started going on YouTube and I typed in Dr. Berg, B-E-R-G. I learned about the pancreas, the gallbladder, the liver, how it makes bile, why we get gallstones, what from the foods that we eat. Then I went and typed in Dr. Glidden on YouTube. And I explained how certain foods can heal. Well, type in Dr. Berg and Dr. Glidden on YouTube and learn that you can take bile salts and you can take choline, which is a B vitamin, and it can help heal the lining in your stomach. It can take the inflammation, reduce the fatty tissue in your liver and make your pancreas and gallbladder so you don't have to have surgery. And then I got a hold of Wendy Wilson when I was in so much suffering that week. Wendy shipped me out milk thistle and barberry from Apothecary Herbs, and it soothed my liver and my gallbladder. And as I spent the rest of the week in bed, I studied under Dr. Axe, Dr. Glidden, and these guys, and I learned about all the nutrition. So then I got from Dr. Glidden the 90 essential minerals, the liquid calcium, the essential fatty acid oils and liquid minerals, bee pollen and raw honey. And I tell you what, I'm 6 to 8 years old installing carpet. I'm ready to start going back and lifting weights and start jogging again. And you can get healthy too. These doctors are not MDs. They're holistic doctors that find out what's wrong with you. And through God's nutrients and herbs, you can heal yourself with the prayer of God. The first thing you can do, if any of you have grudges and you've not forgiven somebody, get along with God, forgive everybody of everything, let go of all your grudges, and then watch how God works. Pastor Hal, you got 3 minutes. Tell people how we can get their names written in the book, Lamb's Book of Life.
Okay, it's very simple. You know, if you want to find the answer to something, you go to the authority. The authority is the Lord Jesus Christ in that King James Bible. And in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." It's not by your religion. It's not by your church. It's not by your church leaders. It's not by your good works. It's not by water baptism. You could get baptized so often every tadpole in the creek knows your Social Security number and still die and go to hell. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Christ. And that happens the very moment you go to God and you admit to him something he knows already anyway. That without Jesus in your heart, you're just a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on your road to hell. But when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he comes into your heart and he gives to you the payment he paid in your place in full on that cross. You see, God knew you couldn't save yourself. If you quit sinning right now and never sinned again, just the sins you've already done would keep you out of heaven. God hates sin, and he's a righteous God, and he can't let sin into heaven. But he allowed his son to transfer all your guilt and all your sins onto Jesus. So when Jesus said it is finished, that means all the work necessary for your salvation has been done. Now it's just a matter of whether you by faith will reach out and receive it or try and get some. There's some other way that doesn't work. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." But like I said, it's through his blood, not the water system, not baptism. And so if you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you ask him to come into your heart and give to you that payment, he'll do it. And when you get to heaven, you'll be giving him all the praise for getting you there. You won't be walking around patting yourself on the back and saying, "I did this because I was a good Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or anything else like that." Or you're going to be giving Jesus all the praise. Now, my job as a preacher is to lead men and women to Christ. And if you want to receive the payment Jesus paid for you, right now he stands at the door of your heart. He's knocking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," in other words, hear his word, "and open the door, I will come in." That's Revelation 3:20. So let Jesus come in right now. We can say a simple prayer together, and I would lead you a few words at a time if you'd like. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in.
Hurry up.
So what do you say we pray? "Lord God, you know I'm a sinner, and I need salvation. And Lord Jesus, I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell. And believe in you died on that cross and shed your blood for me. In Jesus' name, amen."
We got left 30 seconds. Bill, it was nice meeting you. Thank you for coming in. I'm sure Pastor Sanders is going to have you back on the air again. Hal, thanks for being on. And all of you, thank you so much for tuning in. I love you. Jesus loves you. And who knows, one of these days I might be back on. Really, husbands love your wives. Wives love your husband. Help the needy. Help the poor. Show the love. Be a good person for the Lord. And remember, always, 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 keep fighting.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.